Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, brought to you by Campbell's new chunky spicy soup. It's time to get fired up. Raptors lose tonight at Scotiabank Arena. No big surprise. They lose 128-111 against the LA Lakers. It was competitive at the start. The Raptors got back RJ Barrett and Emmanuel quickly, and that gave a lot of life to the team. I mean, it's actually kind of amazing how as soon as they came back, the Raptors started playing, you know, just, I don't want to be dismissive of the other players, but like competent basketball, like basketball with the structure, guys who can score, who can touch the paint, who can get an advantage. And, you know, that was really nice to see. In addition to the fact that obviously RJ having lost his brother and Emmanuel having lost his uncle, two guys, you know, who are super family oriented. Like the number one thing when you see post game, and I'll probably see it in a couple minutes here, is RJ come out or Emmanuel come out, and their families are quite close as well. And they just always got a bunch of people with them. The only thing I would say is that it's great that they have at least their families around and even each other to sort of like lean on in this difficult time. For Raptor fans, it's just great to see them come back into the lineup, look, you know, relatively healthy. And again, they played well. RJ Barrett in 26 minutes finishes with 28.6 rebounds, 6 assists, was super efficient from the field overall. There continues to be something going on with the free throw shooting. That was an issue before he obviously left the group. And, you know, whatever. But still, RJ was touching the paint and it's just creating a lot of advantages that Raptors weren't getting a chance to do that with their previous lineups based on who was available and out there. And then quickly, even though I thought he got a couple, you know, mistakes with some of the passes and he airballed a shot here or there, like 20 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal in 27 minutes. Also efficient shooting for the two of them, 11 of 18 for RJ, 7 of 12 for quickly. They instantly came in and produced and played well. And the starting group, I thought, actually did a decent job. Now, they didn't play well to start the fourth quarter. The game was already a blowout at that point. The Lakers pulled away in the third. The Lakers basically had control of this game whenever they wanted it. It was clear from literally the first play of the game where LeBron threw an alley-oop to Anthony Davis to dunk. It was like anytime the Lakers wanted to get to the cup, they could and they would. And, you know, it was just a matter of, okay, when are they going to really insist on imposing their will on the Raptors? And it was, you know, no surprise here, but LeBron leading the charge, him, Rui Hachimura, Anthony Davis, the fact that they had three guys in their front court who were like by far bigger and more athletic than anybody the Raptors put out there at all tonight, says it all. LeBron had a couple of and ones going to the hoop in the third quarter to buff up the lead. Huge cheers from the crowd, by the way. There's just a massive number of Laker fans. Like when I look around the arena right now, there are so many Laker fans in the building. And when LeBron got announced, whenever LeBron scored, even when other guys scored, like to a lesser extent AD or even Austin Reeves, that seemed to be the most popular three, just massive cheers for all those guys. But in any case, like, yeah, LeBron with a couple of and ones to sort of push it forward, AD with a dunk, Rui Hachimura with a dunk. And, the Raptors, based on the personnel right now, they just have no real tangible options for this. Like, Kelly Olynyk picked up his fourth foul early in the third quarter there, so he had to come out, and the Raptors put in Garrett Temple. And it was like, you know, we obviously love Garrett Temple on this program. He comes on, and he'll be on later this week as well. But it's like, you know, that's our backup center right now, and that's our solution to, like, okay, the Lakers are scoring at will at the basket. What can we do? And we're going to put in Garrett Temple at center. Like, it's pretty incredible. And honestly, Garrett did come into the game and record a block, like, right away, and he blocked AD as well. So, you know, that was quite nice. I actually can't believe it's not in here in the box score. That is something that needs to be taken up with the league immediately. Like, this is, how can we know the sanctity of the game is intact when Garrett Temple blocks AD and that's not recorded as an official block in the box score? But, yeah, ultimately, like, you know, the Lakers have that size advantage. And that's the thing. That's the number one reason why the Raptors defensively have not been able to compete. I wouldn't say that, like, their perimeter defense is particularly strong. I don't think that's particularly disruptive. It's not like, you know, there's, like, some incredible schemes out there that's, like, you know, forcing confusion on a tangible, sustainable level on the opponent. It's just there's no size. There's no rim protection at all. Rebounding is a difficult thing for the Raptors. They got out-rebounded 13-5 in offensive rebounds. Again, like, you know, you just have a way more athletic team on the Lakers who, you know, seemingly have athletes at every single position. Meanwhile, the Raptors did get more scores back, and that definitely helps a lot. And we'll get into a little bit more of RJ and quickly, because, you know, again, it's just wonderful to see him all around. But ultimately, like, there is that lack of athleticism that, you know, it is quite funny. They certainly course corrected out of the whole Vision 6'9". Let's get anybody who is 6'9", you know, with some athleticism. Let's teach them some basketball skills and hopefully make them functional. But ultimately, you know, we're really prioritizing the size and athleticism. The sharp pivot from that to this, which is like a lot more, you know, skilled, a lot more guard oriented, better shooting, all that kind of stuff. But at a fundamental level, it's like now we really, really lack for size. And I know that, you know, the Raptors obviously have two crucial injuries. Scottie Barnes, Jakob Poeltl, they're around the team. You know, they're on the bench tonight, you know, and all that stuff. But like, and of course, Scottie would help a bunch. And of course, Jakob would help a bunch. But there is just size issues across the board. And it is leading to these really, really difficult mismatches defensively. Of course, it doesn't matter now, of course, right? Because it's really just, okay, the Raptors have lost 14 straight. You don't even feel pressure around the team. Everyone's still in a jovial mood. It's kind of incredible. Like, there's not like a, it's not like, a, I guess I don't want people to panic either, but it's, you know, it's certainly there's none of that, right? Like, they're just kind of going about their day and it's all the same. There's definitely no pressure or frustration to snap the streak. It's just an acknowledgement that, like, whether the Raptors are, they're not tanking. Like, I think that's too active of a word to say. It's more semantic, but like, I do feel like they're okay with losing for the first time in a long time. And of course, you know, you got to keep your pick, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I mean, even when you do want to flip that switch and win again, like, you need to have such a big shift in how the Raptors can be defensively. And, you know, you just don't quite see that just yet with the personnel. But hey, you know, there might be some changes in the offseason. Having said that, though, a lot of these guys will be in the rotation next year. So you do want to find a better way for them to play better and guard. Yeah, moving on to the positives. RJ and quickly coming back was great. Both of them got really nice cheers as they came back. Again, from, you know, personal tragedy. I know this is not really a sports story. It's just a life thing. It's just really sad, honestly, what those two are going through. But they came out, they played really, really hard. I know Darko talked before the game about, you know, we will kind of keep them on minutes limits. I will be curious to see whether or not they'll play and suit up on the second night of a back-to-back against Minnesota. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. We'll find out tomorrow. In any case, it's probably not going to change the result, because basically any team with like somewhat decent size is going to hurt you. And Minnesota definitely has lots of size. Even without Karl-Anthony Towns, it'll be a difficult matchup. Ultimately, though, the game looks a lot more, you know, meaningful and competent when you see RJ and quickly out there. I mean, the two of them immediately came into the game and just throughout the game was just making great reads, was impacting the game, and was generating a lot of offense. Again, yeah, they're your top scorer in RJ and your second leading scorer in quickly. I thought RJ, for his part, played by far the best game out of anybody on the Raptors tonight. First play of the game for him, he drove on AD and got fouled. You know, was pretty good with his passing as well. Nice hit ahead to Grady for a layup. You know, the same kind of stuff. The Raptors are running with Kelly in the high post. Raptors splitting off of each other off the ball, and RJ curling, getting a nice pass from Kelly for a layup. Then, you know, RJ knocked down some wing threes as well, both catch and shoots on the wing. That continues to be a nice area of, you know, positive surprise for RJ since coming to the Raptors, is how good he's been shooting the three. And, you know, there's things like when he comes into the game and you really start to notice, like, okay, all of a sudden the Raptors have way more punch, you know, and that punch is just, there was a stretch in the second quarter where RJ on four consecutive plays got to the paint. Like, four consecutive plays, he touched the paint and caused rotations in the defense. And that's ultimately, when you're talking about, like, advantages and all that kind of stuff, like, you kind of just, you know, somebody's has got to be like, oh, someone's got to score, we got to rotate, we got to actually, and then you play out of that. But generating that first little bit of oomph is very, very difficult, no matter what kind of system you're trying to run. And you ultimately need talent to do that. And that's where RJ, his ability to touch the paint kind of on a whim is genuinely really impressive. And the four straight trips to the paint in the second quarter, one of those he got a layup for himself. Another one he got fouled on, you know, made one of two. Another one where he had a dump off assist, I think, to Javon Freeman Liberty, who made a nice cut off the weak side and got himself open and for a short little jump floater. And then the last one, RJ was able to touch the paint and then swing it out to Kelly. Now, Kelly didn't choose to shoot the three, and he decided to try to, like, you know, move the ball and keep that advantage going. It didn't really materialize, but ultimately RJ did create the advantage for Kelly, and he did touch the paint. And that's the thing for RJ. He just goes to the paint a lot. And you could tell in these games, like, he's, especially when he has his head of steam, especially when he's playing like this, like, he's good. He's going to be good for a poster dunk once in a while, too. And he got that off as well in the third quarter there, just really was able to, you know, be strong. And there's something about RJ where, you know, it's interesting, and I would love to, you know, dive in a little bit more on him, just how he's able to consistently get downhill, right? It's like, it's not so simple as like a, you choose to do it. There's obviously a technique. There's obviously something that in him that physically is able to do. I feel like he's able to, like, when he gets in the paint, like, elongate his steps or like pick his steps really well to like make sure he hits the gap or times his drive so that the gap appears when he wants it to. And he can like gut through those. Obviously, every, you know, scouting report is going to say, don't let RJ get to his left hand, whatever. But he also manages get to, he gets to his left hand quite a bit. And when he gets cut off to his left hand, he usually gets somehow another way to get to his left hand anyway. And yeah, I mean, he also has that sneaky bit of athleticism at the very end where it's like, if he needs to dunk on a guy, he will do that. So to me, it just continues to look great for RJ in Toronto. You know, even the playmaking tonight was really good. 6 assists, 0 turnovers, made a lot of really nice reads. And yeah, it's just for anybody, like, honestly, he gets to the paint better than anybody on the team. And that's a skill that I think is really innate with RJ. So it was great to see him back in the lineup. It was great to see Quickly back in the lineup as well. Quickly started stronger and then kind of tailed off a little bit as the game went on. You know, he had a first, I think the first shot of the game, he hit a pull-up three over Austin Reeves. The Raptors definitely made a point to go on Austin Reeves, both RJ and Quickly taking their chances against Austin. You know, Grady kind of attacked Austin as well. Like, it's just, you know, it's the clear weak point in the Lakers defensive scheme is the fact that you can go at Austin. I mean, you could go at, you know, D'Angelo Russell as well to some degree, but, you know, Austin is for sure the weak spot. And so you saw Quickly go at him, RJ go at him. Yeah, just Quickly just continues to, you know, do a good job of playmaking. You know, his pull-up three is a real threat. He made three of those tonight, got himself to the foul line a couple times, uses quickness, you know, burst past his man. Like, we've gotten really familiar with Quickly's game. Now, I don't think that, like, on a high vault, there's kind of two modes with Quickly's game. And of course, you would like to see it probably happen both concurrently all the time. But there's like the playmaker mode for Quickly. And I think that when Scotty was around, Jakob was around, and you had the starting five, I guess, that we're trying to move forward with, you saw Quickly routinely have games of like double-digit assists and really set up the table. But then you'd also see some quiet scoring games. And then you've seen, since Scotty's gone down, Quickly is really taking that mantle to be like, all right, I got to score, I got to create, and I got to create. And that aggressiveness, you're starting to see the scoring and the playmaking both happen at the same time. But, you know, I think that, yeah, he's been good at those. I do think that, like, you know, the Lakers didn't really offer a lot of physicality at the point of attack. Maybe, I guess, Max Christie come off the bench. And by the way, he is crazy athletic. Good for Max Christie and the Lakers for, you know, I guess, having each other. But in any case, like, you know, Russell or Reeves, they're not offering that kind of on-ball pressure against Quickly. I thought Quickly was able to use his advantages, his athleticism. You know, just little stuff from Darko to even keep him, like, comfortable. There was a play where they ran a baseline out of bounds to get Quickly, you know, cutting towards the ball for the short inbound pass and a little bit of a space. I think AD was playing in a drop and to protect the rim on that play. And so when Quickly came around the screen, he got himself wide open for a little baseline mid-range jumper. We saw that run for Grady quite a bit too in the last couple of weeks, obviously with other guys out. But, you know, just little things like that for Quickly. He's a pretty versatile player. I do think that there are moments where he looks clearly overextended though. And it's just a matter of sort of like keeping enough talent around him to sort of make sure that he doesn't hit that mode. Defensively, I think you definitely want to continue to see a bigger step and bigger growth. He's obviously more wiry and you know, he's lighter. And so, you know, I guess other guys can sort of go at him. But ultimately, it's like, I think you still want to see like a disruptiveness to his game, maybe even get stronger. Like, you don't have to get bigger, just get stronger and wiry, use that kind of strength and just, you know, do a better job of holding up against drivers and things like that. But ultimately, I thought, yeah, Quickly and RJ coming back in just raised the standard of play. It made Kelly play a lot better, too, because I think we've been seeing, like, every single play is Kelly in the post and Raptors splitting off of those. And, of course, it looks good, honestly. Like, when they convert, like, they look good. It's been leading to a lot of assists. But also, at the same time, like, it's number one, it's led to Kelly throwing a lot of passes away. Tonight, he only had one turnover, which is really good. But two, it's like, it's not really necessarily activating Kelly as a scoring option as well. And you're seeing when other guys are able to create the advantages, Kelly cutting or Kelly rolling or Kelly getting a switch against a smaller guy and sealing him and catching the ball and, you know, pump faking, all that kind of stuff. Like, you do get to see more of that, like, scoring element for Kelly as well when he doesn't also have to play make for everyone else. My bigger thing with Kelly is just defensively, like, it's just way too easy to get something against him. Whether it's an offensive rebound, whether it's like a, you know, a layup, whether it's a dunk, you know, like he's not really jumping. I'm not expecting that, but, you know, and he does occasionally come in with some blocks. Like, he did block AD, so like it's not like it can't be done. But at the same time, like, yeah, you are obviously giving up quite a bit, and it's going to make it almost impossible for you to have a really strong defense if you're playing Kelly Olynyk at five, even in a bench setting, honestly. But at the same time, offensively gives you a lot. And so that's where the balance is going to have to come. It's like, okay, you're going to give up points, but Kelly's also going to really create a lot of points. And I thought he continues to do that really well. And in the other games, you definitely see him overextended. Tonight, he played much more in balance with RJ and with Quickly back in the lineup. You know, Grady had an interesting game because I thought he actually created a lot of good shots for himself. And he missed like three or four that he really should have made. And I'm not talking about threes. I'm talking about like he like made a really good read. I think Kelly had a mismatch in the post and the Raptors trying to feed him. LeBron reads this. He like scrams the smaller defender out there. So he switches over and rotates. In that brief moment where there is LeBron leaving his man and the smaller defender rotating back to LeBron's man, in that slight moment, Grady read that and instantly ripped and drove down the lane, knowing that there was going to be no rim protection there because of that indecision on that switch, got himself to the bucket, and he just missed a layup. And then he had another play where he drove baseline reverse and tried to go for a dunk, and he just, like, bricked the dunk. And then he got an open three after that, too. It was like, those are really good opportunities, and it's generated within the offense, and he just didn't convert. Now, of course, it's not a good thing that he missed some layups, but easily, this could have been a night where he got himself closer to the 20-point plateau, which has sort of been like the part where it's like, you know, if he hits that 20, you start to get really excited. But in general, like, wide open shots from the top of the floor in the corners, he's been knocking those things down as well. You would like to see him again contribute a little bit more in other areas. He's mostly being set up to score. Like, it's starting to feel a little bit like, okay, we have another shooting guard like Gary, where it's like they score a bunch, they might be efficient, but ultimately, like, they're not contributing with rebounding, they're not assisting other guys, they're not really defending at a high level. But, you know, I do think that we've seen other elements of that from Grady, most importantly, the playmaking. And it's just basically like, okay, if he's got an advantage, can he dump it off to somebody? And I think it's probably easier for him to do that with bigs, quite frankly. Like, usually if he's coming off a screen, it's probably going to be a big screening for him. And then if there is the help coming from the opposing big, that leaves a bit of a gap for, you know, the man who screened for him to roll in that setting. If they come up, you know, you can do the quick bounce pass, all that kind of stuff. It's a little bit more difficult when you're doing that with guards because maybe you're seeing a lot more switches and things like that. But in any case, Grady continues to be aggressive, and he did finish with 14 points on 6 of 14 shooting. Like, that's not necessarily bad. But, I mean, you know, right now this season is just about, okay, maintaining this momentum, keeping him going, giving him something to do. And then hopefully as the years go on in his development and in his program, as he physically matures more, you get to see a little bit more in terms of, can he guard a little bit? Can he defend a little bit? There's been a proposal here at Scotiabank, and they did say yes, and they look very happy. She has jumped into his arms. This is awesome. This is actually really awesome. There's a bunch of Laker fans courtside recording this whole thing too. But yeah, this man just proposed. Also, he's wearing jeans and a white vest, which is wild. You know, she's got a nice little jumpsuit going on. Like, it's like a pink sweatsuit situation. She looks pretty fly, but the guy definitely looks like he came straight out of, like, you know, a Costco run. But in any case, congratulations to them. Love is in the air. Back to the Raptors. Shout out to the React podcast, man. Thanks for everyone, for honestly, for listening to these. Second unit was a struggle tonight, man. Second unit was a real struggle. Like, the plus minuses don't even tell the real story here. Like, they made a bit of a run there in the fourth quarter. It doesn't matter. Like, McDaniel's giving a plus 12 in 7 minutes. That is, you know, yeah. Anyway, we're going to move past that. But for me, I think, look, the second unit, number one, they played a lot of them together at the same time. And it was interesting because the Raptors actually got out to an early lead. They were like up 10-4. They held the lead for a while. And the lead was already starting to slip. But then when Darko put in like basically five bench guys, I was like, oh, okay, all right. Like, you know, this lead's going to be gone in an instant. And it really was. I mean, like, with all due respect to Garrett Temple, but it's like, he's out there shepherding like Muhammadu Gay, Jordan Wara, Kobe Simmons, Javon Freeman, Liberty. Like, this is like a summer league level lineup, man. And of course, you can mix in one or two starters in this group, but the reason the starters were playing well is because they actually were rotation players playing with each other for the first time, which hasn't happened in a while. When you put back in the guys who are, you know, essentially just from a lower level, it's obviously going to lead to a lot of struggles. Here comes Kelly Olynyk coming out of the tunnel as well, man. This guy's just, speaking of a guy who's going on a Costco run, Kelly's just on a white t-shirt and blue jeans. Like, you know, we've seen NBA players in incredible fashion. There was even an incident last week where Gary Trent Jr. wore these like big bell-bottom like jeans, and they had like black flames on the bottom. And it was on the same night that Jalen Williams, aka J-Dub, on the OKC Thunder also had on the exact same fashion pants. That was also the same game, I believe, where Scotty wore really, really like plastic, I think, looking material with like high-rise boots as well. Like it was just, you know, NBA player fashion can be like really obviously expressive. And Kelly coming out in a snapback, a white tee, and jeans is great to see. Just like it was great to see the man in the white vest get engaged. Hopefully, you know, just best of luck with everything, honestly. Congratulations to you guys. But in any case, second unit together just was not really clicking. I think there's clearly players who were overextended. I think Jordan Wara really struggled with the balance of this game, had a bunch of turnovers, you know, screwed up a couple plays, all that kind of stuff. He knocked down two corner threes at the end there, but that wasn't changing nothing, and that was a little too little too late. Kobe Simmons just didn't really seem all that involved. I continue to be fine with Kobe Simmons, quite frankly. Like, I like him a little bit, but, you know, he's like very much like doing a third string point guard type of deal and trying not to screw things up. I don't mind the approach. There's not exactly a right approach, honestly, when you're on a 10-day. So salute to him. I know he had a, you know, productive 905 season as well, so it's a nice reward for that as well. Javon Freeman Liberty, kind of the same deal. Again, he kind of mostly does his damage around the basket. It's just one of those, like, as a guard, it's like, I don't know. It's almost like, it's almost Bruce Brownish in a way. He's like a guard, but he's scoring most of the cuts. He's kind of playing point guard, but he's not really like generating most of the advantages. He's kind of playing off of other guys. Like, and defensively, there's like an impact. He rebounds to a small degree, but ultimately, you know, like, what is the standout skill? I just haven't seen it yet, even with these extended minutes. And that's the case for most of these other guys. And Mahamudu Gay, you know, he tries really hard. He came into the game, he had a couple blocks, all that kind of stuff. But he also just makes like basic elementary errors that are like, you know, elementary, like in nature, like just losing the ball. Like, there's one play, he had five turnovers tonight. But first of all, he doesn't have the ball that much to have five turnovers in 14 minutes. But he had one play tonight where he was just trying to inbound the ball and he stepped in bounds. And it's like, that's a turnover. Like, there's things that are just too elementary, or like the pass is there, but the ball slips through, or he tries to make a move and it's too ambitious and he airballs. Like, it just looks like there's a general inexperience with the sport, on top of the fact that, you know, again, like, you know, you would like to see him get stronger and things like that. But ultimately, like, whatever. This is neither here nor there. I don't think he's going to be like too big of a part of the rotation or anything. Well, I mean, he's definitely not going to be that next season, unless there's some sort of miraculous change. And I would love to see that. But, you know, there's a lot of steps to be taken there. And then Garrett missed five threes, which is unfortunate, but generally speaking, played really hard. Dove half court, you know, trying to make plays, you know, hustle back for a couple steals and blocks. Like, good for him, man. Good for Garrett. So, yeah, I mean, that's the team as is. I think that, like, certainly there are improvements. The more that Quickly and IQ play, Quickly and RJ play, the better in terms of just like the watchability of it, like the productivity and the certain stretches are going to look a lot better. I don't think it's enough to really win, because again, like, I think the fatal thing is just that they don't have enough size at all. They're like critically short on size. So like, that is going to sort of kind of keep it going if you're rooting for the tank or whatever. But like, it's just undeniably really good to see them back in the lineup. And they're a huge part of this group. Like, I actually don't think that the Raptors should like rest them or whatever. Like, whatever. If they don't feel physically ready to play in the back-to-back, that's fine. Whatever. Don't push it. But like, I think this is the last back-to-back in the rest of the season. Oh, there's actually one more next week. Never mind. But still, I would like to see them play. And it doesn't matter to me so much about like the quote-unquote tank. I want to see them like play and contribute and expand and explore their games, because they're going to be such big parts of the team going forward. So, you know, and they're still very young as well. So just continue to just put in that time and all that kind of stuff. So, before I wrap up, I'm going to hand out the three stars. But before I hand out the three stars, I need to bring you a message from our sponsor. Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky, spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty, spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. Let's take your day to the next level. See if you can handle the heat with the new chunky, spicy chicken noodle soup. All right, your three stars from this performance. First star is going to RJ, 28 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, no turnovers, 11 of 18 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3, 4 of 7 from the free throw line. That's got to get better, but still 26 minutes, super productive. And I guess a Lakers team that, like, you know, is really big. And I know they're not really guarding, like, at a high level right now, but they got a lot of high-level defenders. For RJ to be able to get to the rim whenever he wants, like, again, it truly – I get a new appreciation of it every single time I see him back in the lineup after he misses time, because it's not something that everyone can do. And again, it's the best on the team in terms of his quality to get downhill. IQ is going to get my second star, 20 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, 7 of 12 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3, 3 of 3 from the foul line, 3 turnovers. Yeah, just how Quickly came in, played his game. This is pretty much an average game for Quickly. I would love to see him get a little bit stronger defensively, but picking his spots. Him and RJ have a really good chemistry. They certainly do pass to each other quite a bit. Like, I'm not saying they play buddy ball, but, you know, there's certainly a comfort and they know how to find each other. I'm enjoying watching Quickly, just play 27 minutes of strong point guard play. Like, that we have not seen that in Toronto since he's been out. So that was good. And then your third star, I'll probably give it to Kelly. 14 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, 2 blocks. Defensively, you're just not really going to expect much. But offensively, you know, he was crushing and just didn't have to play as much on edge. Again, like, he's been having to create extra, so you're going to see more mistakes. But, still, when you see him in this mode where he can score, he can play make, and get structure off other guys, like, it makes the game a lot more watchable. So, shouts to Kelly. You're Gerald Henderson Award winner for Who Randomly Torched the Raptors. I think you kind of have to go with D'Angelo Russell on this one. Russell has really become a Raptor killer. Like, he's torched the Raptors on multiple occasions. Part of me want to go with Spencer Dinwiddie as well. Like, he could not hit threes in warmups, and suddenly he's 3 of 6 in the game and blocking shots, all this kind of stuff. But Russell, 25 points, 7 assists. Most importantly, he was blowing kisses, you know, heat checks in the fourth quarter, all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, it's tough, man. We are at a point where D'Angelo Russell can, you know, blow kisses in the crowd, and we have no options. So, it is what it is. Raptors continue to slide. 14 straight now. That is the second longest losing streak in franchise history. The only one that is longer is 17 games. This is back in 1997. And that season, the Raptors finished first off 16-66, which is just, wow, I can't believe that. I know Raptors Reaction Podcast wasn't hitting back then. Or Raptors Reaction cassette tapes or whatever, you know, people were doing at that time. But that season, they started the year 1-2, and then they lost 17 straight afterwards. So they were 1-19 to start the year. But in any case, Raptors, if you look ahead in the schedule, they have a chance probably next week or at the end of the week against Washington. But here's the thing. Washington just beat Milwaukee. So, like, I don't know. I'm not trying to gas Washington. We just saw Washington, and they're not very good. But, like, I don't know, man. It's not exactly like you just pencil them in for the win. But in any case, Raps are on the 14-game losing streak, and nobody quite bothered. And this is just kind of where we're at to finish the season. So 7 more games, 7 more React Pods, and, 2 more weeks of the Raptors show. So in any case, appreciate everyone for listening. Please continue to rate, review, subscribe. And, yeah, you've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. I wish the lovely couple a happy engagement.